Broadway music ignites such passions. So many people of a certain generation recall their first real live Broadway show, their treasured original cast albums. Something about that Broadway sound triggers all that is magical. Right now, passions are running particularly high around the issue of Broadway music, which is something else again.
But in front of each theater, we want 8 musicians.
In fact, musicians were out demonstrating the other night, taking their case directly to theatergoers.
And hand out flyers there.
If you haven't been following the news stories, the dispute between the musicians and the producers is heating up just now, in advance of March 2nd when the musicians' contract expires. The whole thing hinges on the question of minimums. How many players are to be in the orchestra in Broadway theaters, and who is to decide how many there are? The fewer players required, say the musicians, the greater the threat of technology, synthesizers that would replace people, canned music that would replace live. This has been brewing for some time.
There's references in the Broadway contract as back as far as the early 70s to things like the Moog synthesizer, which was one of the first electronic devices.
Bill Moriarty is one of the major players in all this. He's president of Local 802 of the American Federation of Musicians.
And in 1975, they didn't propose the elimination of minimums, but that fight was about minimums.
Now they, the producers, are asking for the elimination of minimums. The producers say it is their province to choose the size of a show's ensemble, with no size requirements from any union. To make things more ominous, producers have announced their intention to keep shows running without musicians, if need be, to use synthesizers known as virtual orchestras.
Every musical on Broadway is prepared to play in the event of a strike, so all of them will be rehearsing between now and next Monday.
Jed Bernstein is a major player on the other side, the head of the League of American Theaters and Producers. Bernstein insists there's nothing ominous at hand.
The idea, you know, that producers are looking to get rid of musicians is just ridiculous. What we are looking to do is to end a outdated work rule left over from, I guess, the early part of the 1900s that takes away the right of the creative team and the producer to decide how many people they need to do a job.
But musicians worry that in the long term, the absence of minimums will be seen as an opportunity to make cuts.
Yes, and we're pretty sure that is what will happen.
Michael Starobin is a leading Broadway orchestrator and one of nearly 40 composers, music directors, and orchestrators who've signed a petition in favor of Broadway orchestra minimums.
People will use synthesizers, use whatever means to have smaller orchestras. It will not be orchestras, so it will just be combos.
So how many people does it take to sound like an orchestra? In the heyday of Broadway, maybe 30 or even 35. Over the years, fewer and fewer.
The string sound is thinner on Broadway than it used to be because we don't use that many players.
How far could this go? What could you do with one player and a virtual orchestra machine?
Essentially, it involves computer control of a number of different sounds.
Ken Bischel has been experimenting with synthesized music since the early days of the Moog.
You record digital pieces of information, computer language. Think of it as a musical word processor. You type in these things, and they're translated into musical notes.
Here's how Bischel's experimental version of Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade sounds, all done with virtual orchestra technology.
Does it sound like a real orchestra? Depends who's listening.
Even Bischel, a pro-computer sort, wonders how this would affect audiences of the future.
We can give a good illusion of playing things that sound like string sections, but you lose all of the musicianship.
Virtual orchestra technology is now in use. Some shows take it on the road. Sometimes it's used to enhance a smaller ensemble. Musicians are afraid that giving in to the no minimum demand of the producers will just make it easier for shows to resort to technology to solve their budgetary problems. So musicians are fighting for these minimums in all the Broadway houses. Coincidentally, about 20 blocks north in Lincoln Center, this is made all the more poignant by a new exhibition opening March 7th at the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts, in which, once again, the passion for Broadway is on display. The library has assembled and mounted a pristine collection of LP covers, leaflets, posters, and photographs documenting the history over the last 100 years or so of musical theater in New York and how its distinctive sound has been preserved on recording. Shows and pieces of shows had been recorded since the late 19th century, but Oklahoma is the show that started the Broadway tradition of the cast album.
There was something about Oklahoma. It was such a cultural phenomenon. Everything about it was just bigger than other shows before it.
Kevin Winkler is the curator of the library exhibition.
A lot of the marketing of the period stressed the fact that if you couldn't come to Broadway and pay $4.40 a ticket, you could pay a comparable amount and have the show in your living room. That struck a chord with people. After that, just about every record label got into the business of recording Broadway shows.
The exhibit will include a listening booth with early treasures like this 1906 recording of Burt Williams. And examples of the musical synergy of Fred and Adele Astaire.
Hello.
How are you?
How's the folks?
What's new?
I'm great.
That's good.
Ha ha.
Touch wood.
Well.
What we hope to do in the exhibition is to show how changes and developments in recording technology changed the way we listen to the music of Broadway.
Technology and art. Passion and the marketplace. They'll be on display soon for your viewing and listening pleasure. Meanwhile, the most contentious conflict anyone can remember is all over Broadway right now, and everybody's talking about it.
We view this as an extremely provocative act on the part of the league. We have been attempting to negotiate in a good faith manner.
PR spin having to do with producers wanting to end live music, which is insane.
Here's hoping there will be a continuing living tradition to celebrate in exhibitions years from now. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.